good morning. Yes, toot your horn if you think it's a good morning. Awesome. Good to see everybody. Welcome to Bethany's Drive-In Worship Service. You know, it's great to be together again, worshiping this week in our vehicles while we enjoy the beauty of God's creation while we're outside worshiping. It's a wonderful time to be together, even though we're socially distanced in this way. Our first song this morning is God is on the Move. And as we observe the events over the last few months with the pandemic and racial unrest, it is easy to become fearful and discouraged. And then you combine those catastrophic events with extreme natural disasters of flooding, fires, and earthquakes, and you might think, my goodness, the world is coming to an end. But I can say this morning with great assurance that God is with us and God is on the move. You can beat to that too. All right. There are countless stories of lives changed as a result of the pandemic and the protests. I truly believe people are becoming more connected even though we have to be socially distanced. There's a greater sense of caring. We now go out of our way to connect with one another since we can't hug and offer handshakes. Thank goodness for our technology that we have with FaceTime and Zoom meetings. But in the midst of it all, God is there. He is moving among his people by the very responses and actions that we initiate as his followers. Please join us in singing, God is on the Move.
Anytime a heart turns from darkness to light, anytime temptation comes and someone stands to fight, anytime somebody lives to serve and not be served, I know, I know, I know, I know, God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Anytime in weakness someone falls upon their knees or dares to speak the truth that sets men free, anytime the choice is made to stand upon the word, I know, I know, I know, I know, God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. I see a generation standing on the truth. In each and every nation, God is on the move. Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know, I know, I know, I know. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move and on the move today. I see a generation
standing on the truth.
In each and every nation, God is on the move.
Great job. I think I could hear you singing through the car windshields there. Awesome job. Please join me this morning for our opening prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the source of all true and lasting joy. We praise you for your power, which is beyond compare. We worship you for your wisdom, which is beyond understanding. You can meet all our needs. You restore the brokenhearted and heal the wounded. You have revealed yourself to your people and are building your church even in these times of social distancing, against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. How great you are, Lord. Fill our hearts with love as we respond by singing praises to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's continue our time of praise by singing our next song, Lord, I Need You. Thank you. Great job, Pastor Susan.
It's good to see you all. And oh, all right. Yes. Many of you might have gotten a picture that looks like this in your hygienically prepared packet. And there's three people there, two kind of an older looking couple and a baby. And that's Abraham and Sarah and their baby, Isaac. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about their story, because when Sarah was 90 years old, a messenger from God told her she was going to have a baby. And she laughed. She thought that was pretty funny. And her husband was 100 years old, which is pretty old. I mean, that's older than me, older than your parents. It's older than Roy Lee. That's pretty old. But God said they were having a baby, so anything is possible. And Sarah laughed. I think part of it was she was surprised, and part of it was that she was happy because she had wanted a baby for such a long time, and God had been promising, and so she laughed. So that made me think of the song that you probably know, and I don't usually sing, except not on a microphone. But you know the song, "If You're Happy and You Know It, Clap Your Hands." So, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. All right. Well, suppose you were a dog. How would you show that you were happy? You would wag your tail, right? Or pant? Yeah, my dog likes smiles. So, yeah, so if you were a dog, you would wag your tail. If you were a bird and you were happy, you might flap your wings to show you were happy. If you were a duck, you might quack if you were happy. And if you were a frog, you might hop if you were happy. And I don't know if the cows are happy. Sometimes we hear the cows mooing. Maybe that's what they do when they're happy. So think about that. What do you do when you're happy? And you'll notice if you have the picture of Abraham and Sarah, they don't have any expressions on their faces. But that's for you to do. You can decide, are they happy? Are they laughing? Are they, what's going on there? So you decide what kind of, if you're going to draw a smile or a frown or a surprise, an O, like they're still surprised about the baby. So I hope that you all are happy. How about this? If you're happy and you know it, honk your horn. I'm not going to do more verses of that. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you surprise us with joy, even at very unexpected times. Lord, we thank you that even in a parking lot, we can be in worship. And so continue to surprise us with your amazing love. Amen.
Today's scripture lesson comes from Genesis 18, 1 through 14, and Genesis 21, 1 through 7. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. Abraham said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham then ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" Abraham said, "There in the tent." Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." Genesis 21, 1 through 7. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Sean, for that reading. Let us take a moment to pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we have heard your words read, and we consider what it meant that Sarah laughed, that she named Isaac laughter. And so, Lord, even in the midst of confusing times, help our hearts to be light. Help us to see that you still can move us to joy. May my words be your words and my message your message. Amen. Well, just a quick reminder that if you do have a prayer request, you can text it to the number that's right there in front of us, 540-495-0501. And so I was thinking about our scripture this morning, I was wondering, is it too soon to laugh? And I think that's the lesson of Sarah, is that it's never too soon. When it takes you, it takes you. And it reminded me of a story about a little girl, and I think this is a true story. A little girl came home. She stayed with her grandmother after church. And when she got home from, after school, so when she came home from school, she said to her grandmother, she said, today in school, we learned how to make babies. And since she was in the third grade, grandma was a little surprised. And she kept her calm, though, and she said, so how do you make babies? And the little girl said, well, you drop the Y and you add I-E-S. Of course. I like to think that God has a sense of humor. There are a lot of stories in the Bible that seem like, you know, God smiles down at us sometimes. When you think about some of the people in the Bible, like the prophet Jeremiah, who was walking around at God's command with an ox yoke on his shoulders while he was at the king's palace, or then there's Jonah, the reluctant prophet, who thought that a one-way ticket west to Tarshish would get him out of his God-given mission, the one he didn't want to take, until he ended up in the belly of a whale, the biggest eastbound whale there was. You think of Peter, who was this bumbling backwater fisherman who often made mistakes but made them boldly. And he ends up being the first among the apostles and the bishop of the church at Rome. Or there's Zacchaeus, you know, the wee little man who was trying to see Jesus, couldn't see over the crowd, and was able to overcome his dignity and climb a tree so that he could see Jesus. And then I also think about when the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. You know, they take the Ark, and I don't know if they think they're going to have the power of God, but they take the ark and they are afflicted right away with mice and hemorrhoids, which is not funny in and of itself. But then when they finally decide that they can't take this punishment from God anymore, they decide that they need to give something back with the ark when they give it back to the Israelites. And so they send 5 gold mice and 5 golden hemorrhoids. I'm sure God has some kind of a sense of humor. You can't imagine, you know, that these folks like Jonah and Jeremiah and Zacchaeus are mighty warrior figures like Achilles and Odysseus in in Homer's The Iliad. No. And Abraham, although we didn't read this part of the scripture, he is not above being moved by humor either. When God speaks directly to him and tells him that Sarah is going to bear him a son, he actually, and his descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars, he actually falls on his face laughing. But there's joy in that laughter because God has promised him that he will have descendants. And really, he's been waiting a long, long time. He's been waiting so long that he's now 100 years old. And it's interesting to think that this could be something that God could do. You know, these people come across the plains to the Oaks of Mamre, and Abraham recognized them as special messengers. And so he invites them, he gives them hospitality, invites them to come and sit in the shade, that he's going to prepare food for them, give them water to wash their feet. And he tells Sarah that, you know, she needs to go and make some bread. He prepares a calf for them. And as they're eating this meal, Sarah is in the tent. But apparently she's near the entrance of the tent because she's listening to what's going on out there. And so when one of the messengers says, next time we come back around, Sarah will have given birth to a baby boy, she laughs. She laughs. I suppose there's some incredulity in that laugh, some surprise, maybe some happiness. I mean, after all, she is a woman who, the scripture says, it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So we can assume that at 90, she's gone through menopause. And it would seem to be the end of hope that God might not keep this promise about them having children. But in fact, earlier in Genesis, Sarah decided to take matters into her own hands. She decides that she's going to give Abraham her servant girl, Hagar, and they can have a child together. Sarah assumed that childbearing was not for her anymore, and so she gives Abraham Hagar, and she ends up bearing a child. Well, at that moment in Sarah's life, she's thinking small. She is, in fact, believing small, and we can't really blame her for that. She hears the promise and wonders, how could this happen? And there comes the messengers, and they say, oh, Sarah's going to have a baby. And it seems as if, well, as if it's something almost impossible, and yet it is a moment for joy and laughter. A little boy was asked whether he was excited about the new baby his mother was expecting. Yes, said the four-year-old, and I know what we're going to name it, too. If it's a girl, we're going to call it Christina. And if it's another boy, we're going to call it quits. Well, God goes beyond our expectations. God goes way beyond our expectations. Who would expect a shepherd to become a king like David did? Who would expect that God would send someone to bring the people out of bondage? Who would expect that the Savior of the world would be born in a barnyard and be laying down in a cow's feeding trough? Who would expect salvation to come through the death of the Savior, or that the Savior himself is God made flesh? And after the cross, who would expect resurrection? Paul writes, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. God reminds us that we need to hang on to humility and gratitude and awe, because nothing is too wonderful for God. He wants us to have enough perspective to step outside of ourselves at times and laugh at our own folly, laugh at the sheer improbability of grace, laugh and wonder at the strangeness and the beauty of the world in surprised delight. Is it too soon to laugh? I know that we get very serious in these times when we see unrest and we see the numbers going up for COVID-19 infections, and yet it seems like we can't just be sackcloth and ashes all the time. Sometimes we need to laugh at, well, the strangeness of it all. There were two elderly gentlemen from a retirement center, and they were sitting on a bench under a tree, and one of them said to the other, "Slim, I'm 83 years old, and I'm just full of aches and pains. I know you're about my age. How do you feel?" And Slim says, "Well, I feel just like a newborn baby." And he says, "Really? Like a newborn baby?" And he says, "Yeah, no hair, no teeth, and I think I just wet my pants." Well, however we come to God, whether we are young or old, God accepts us, gives us a gift, and sends us out to share the gospel. I can't say that this is a true story. I've heard a couple of Baptist preachers relate it, but it's about a preacher named Charles McCoy. And McCoy was a pastor in upstate New York, and at the age of 72, he was told that he had to retire. He was a lifelong bachelor. He'd cared for his mother for as long as she had lived, and in his spare time, he had earned 7 university degrees, including 2 PhDs, one from Dartmouth and the other from Columbia. But now, at age 72, he was being forced to retire from the ministry, something that had been almost his entire reason for being. And he was depressed. He was thinking, "What am I going to do? My life is over, and I've been the pastor of this church, but they don't want me anymore. I've spent an awful lot of time working on degrees, but what does that count for?" He said, "I haven't even won very many people to the Lord." Well, a week later, he met a Christian pastor from India, and on impulse, he asked him to preach at his church. And after the service, this Indian minister said to him, "Well, now I've preached at your church, you need to come and preach at my church." And Dr. McCoy said, "Well, I'm getting ready to retire, go down to Florida, live in a senior home." And he said, the Indian pastor said, "Well, you know, in India, when your hair turns white, you're respected. You should come. So McCoy thought and prayed about it, and he decided that he would come. He sold many of his possessions, got down to where he could fit everything into a trunk, got his passport and everything, and he told the folks at his church about this, that when he left, he was going to India, and they tried to talk him out of it. He said, "What if you die in India?" And he said, "Well, I think India is just as close to heaven as it is here in New York." And so he booked a one-way passage to India, and he took his first trip out of the United States. Well, he arrived in Mumbai and discovered to his horror that his trunk was lost. So all he had were the clothes on his back, his wallet, his passport, and the address of missionaries in Bombay. He asked for directions. He got on a streetcar headed for their house, and when he got there, he discovered that while he was on the streetcar, his wallet and his passport had been stolen. He went to the missionaries. They welcomed him, but they told him that the man who had invited him to India was still in the United States, and he would be there indefinitely. Well, what was he going to do now? And these kind missionaries said they could put him up for now, but what was he going to do? And so McCoy said, "Well, I've come to preach. I'm going to make an appointment with the mayor of Mumbai." And they said, "Well, the mayor is very busy. He hardly ever sees anyone. It's hard to get an appointment with him, and we've been trying for years to get an appointment." And he said, "Well, I'm going to go to the mayor's office next day." So he went, and he left his card. And when the mayor saw McCoy's business card, he saw that he had 7 degrees and 2 PhDs, and he assumed that he must be a very important person. So he got an appointment. Not only did he get an appointment, but the mayor held a tea in his honor and invited a number of leaders from the area to spend a half hour with them. And Among them was the director of the National Defense Academy at Pune, kind of like our West Point. And that gentleman invited him to come and preach at his academy. And so at the age of 72, he found himself with a brand new ministry that lasted 16 years. Until he died at 88, he circled the globe preaching the gospel, never with more money than he needed to get to the next location. He started a thriving church in Hong Kong. He was in Calcutta when he passed away. He was supposed to preach that evening, but he died quietly in his sleep that afternoon. What could he have been if he hadn't gone to India? He might have died content, but here was this old man waiting to die at 72 when God decided he had a second act in him. It's strange. It's a little funny, but God's grace is like that. It surprises us. It's incredible. It's amazing. And it's all right to laugh. God is bigger than all our expectations. When Sarah held her son Isaac, she laughed. In her 90s, she found her joy complete. She discovered that God can keep even the most amazing promises. And she invited the world to laugh with her. A woman with one foot in the grave and the other in the maternity ward, she laughed. So in these moments of darkness, don't be afraid to drive back the dark with laughter. Laugh, hope, believe, and live into the promises of God, the one who never disappoints us. Amen. Well, just a quick reminder, we do have some offering stations here, buckets on hooks, actually. So there's one right over here, and one as you on this side as you go out, and then on the other side as you go out. So let us bless what has been offered up to God. Oh Lord, we give you thanks. We thank you for all those who faithfully serve you. We thank you for those servants who have gone on ahead of us that taught us what it means to be faithful. We thank you for Sarah, who laughed at your faithfulness. And we ask that you bless all the gifts that we use to honor you and to give you glory. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, we have a few announcements. The youth, I think, are still looking for mission projects. They won't be going to North Carolina because of COVID-19. But they are looking for different things that they can do while they're here in Weir's Cave. So if you have something like that, let Sean Cook know or call the office, and he would be glad to hear about that. Of course, I'm going to check and see if we have any prayer requests. And yeah, we want to, this week we want to keep Dale Roller in our prayers. He's having procedure on Tuesday, so please, heart procedure, so keep him in your prayers. And be in prayer for Jennifer Cook and her family. Her grandmother, Margaret McMillian, passed away this week, so definitely keep the family in your prayers. Let us go to God in prayer. Oh, Lord God, we come before you this morning and we realize that sometimes we don't know whether to laugh or cry, but you are the Lord of glory and grace, and we remember that through you all things are possible. Lord, we sometimes doubt, we question. And yet, Lord, we know that you hear us when we pray. You are with us when we're in turmoil, and you're with us in joy and laughter. Lord, you know that there have been times when we have sinned and fallen short. We have not always loved one another as we should, or lived as those who have been freed from sin. We have at times ignored your word, and we have forgotten you by thinking too much of ourselves. But forgive us, God. Forgive us and help us to put you at the center of our world, at the center of our faith. Remind us that when we put you first, all else will fall into place. Oh Lord, help us be faith-filled with a desire to increase your glory and your goodness all around us. Make us people who share in both word and deed that which you have given to us, that amazing, wonderful grace. Lord, we pray for those who are in need of healing. We pray that you might pour healing into their bodies. We pray for those who are broken in spirit and ask that you give them faith and hope so that they might be mended and lifted up. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you give them hope in the power of the resurrection to bring new life, not just in the next world, but here in our midst. Gracious God, may we minister to one another and to the world as the body of Christ. Help us to walk faithfully in the ways that you lead us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not unto temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we're going to join together singing Spirit Song.
Fire.
It's so good to see you, even if it's through a car windshield. It's so good to worship with you. And now go out into the mission field, bring joy and laughter with you, and the love and grace of God. Amen.